The following message was given by Brothers Stephen Chu and Richard Housel in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 17, 2016. The title of the message is The Ark of the Testimony and the Propitiation Place. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through 22.
We come to you not by our own merit. We give you our thanks this morning. We can come to treasure your word.
Amen.
We treasure your speaking.
Amen.
Pray here you will speak to us.
Amen.
Be the speaking to us today.
Amen.
We love you. We love your word.
Amen.
We give you our thanks this morning.
Amen.
That we can come around the mercy seat.
Amen.
To hear your speaking.
Amen.
We pray all this in your precious name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It is
not so easy to stand up here, but it is an assurance to me to see that all of you, there are all these friendly faces. I know that you are all supporting me, you are all supporting us, and you're standing with us up here on the podium. This morning we are starting with a new section that our brothers feel to prepare us for this coming Exodus study in summer. So we are going to switch over from 1 Corinthians to Exodus. And this, I believe, is the third study of Exodus that we'll be having this summer. So we are actually starting from Exodus chapter 25. And Exodus 25 is the beginning of this section of Exodus that talks about the children of Israel, what the Lord has asked Moses and showed him the pattern on the mount of the building of the tabernacle, the furniture of the tabernacle, actually also the priestly service. And this is actually a picture, okay? This is actually a picture of the children of Israel's journey in the wilderness. Is actually a picture of our own journey of faith in the New Testament. But so whether it is in 1 Corinthians or in Exodus, it is still the Word of God. And it is still the Word of God. Is all Scripture is still God-breathed. Whether it is in the Old Testament or it's in the New Testament, it is God-breathed. And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So this morning, let me begin with Exodus 25. The whole Bible is actually made up of 66 books, 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. Although there are 66 books, the theme of the whole Bible is actually one. And this theme of the Bible shows us from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation that God desires to dwell among his people.
Amen.
And to be everything to him, to them.
Amen.
You know, even before the fall, after God created Adam, God constantly had contact with Adam. He even told Adam that it is not good for man to be alone.
Amen.
You know, but after man fell, God has not changed his plan, nor God has not changed his desire. You know, in Psalm 90, verse 1, the psalmist says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. This shows that even in spite of the fall of man, God has not deviated from his eternal purpose. And in Ephesians 2:22, you can see that also Paul says, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen.
So you can see the theme from the Old Testament to the New Testament is still the same, that God desires to dwell among his people. and be his dwelling place, and we become his dwelling place. So at the end of Revelation 21, you can see God has accomplished his purpose by Revelation 21:3, when it talks about the New Jerusalem. It says, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will tabernacle with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God." So you can see from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, this theme is the same, that God desires to dwell among his people and to be everything to us. Okay. The second thing is this, okay, we have seen that, we also know that the New Testament tells us that the Old Testament, there are many types and figures of the truth in the New Testament. And it is good that actually we are coming from 1 Corinthians to Exodus, because the first book of 1 Corinthians is almost, actually the two books of Corinthians are almost the most referenced of the types and figures in the Old Testament. You can see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us Christ is our real Passover. So the Passover is a type of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you can see that Paul says the crossing of the Red Sea, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So the 1 Corinthians chapter 10 shows us that the children of Israel's baptism in the cloud is a type of our own baptism. And actually also in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul tells us, or Paul warns us, that the children of Israel's journey in the wilderness is a type of our own Christian walk. And it's also a warning to us not to follow what happened to them. So you can see that Exodus is going from 1 Corinthians to Exodus, it's not such a big change in our focus. It is actually just to show us the pictures that we have enjoyed the reality in the New Testament. So we come to, actually, Exodus chapter 25 now. Okay. I forgot one more thing. Actually, from Exodus 25 onwards to the end of the book of Exodus, you can see this whole theme is still continuing, because at the end of the book of Exodus, you see, the tabernacle was erected, and the Exodus tells us that the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is really another picture of the reality of what we can enjoy today. So now let me go to the ark and its cover in Exodus 25. Okay. We all know that the ark and its cover, or it's called the expiation cover or the propitiation cover, is a type of Christ. Okay. First of all, in this picture in Exodus 25, for the building of the tabernacle and for all the furniture, the most important thing is the ark and its cover. Why is it so important? Because actually not only that the ark and its cover is a type of Christ, but in order for us to be able to enjoy the New Testament reality, in Exodus 25, God needs to show to the children of Israel who he is. So the ark and the cover is a picture of who God is. But to us today in the New Testament, the reality is, it is a picture of who Christ is to us. Okay. I can only cover a general picture of the ark and its cover, It's too much to cover, and I can give you, I'm only here to give you a general picture of it, and Brother Dick will paint in some of the finer details. Okay. First of all, I'll cover two aspects of the ark. The first aspect of the ark is that, you know, the ark is built in the shape of a wooden, in a shape of a box. And this box is made of acacia wood and is overlaid inside and outside with gold. We know that the gold signifies God's divine nature, and the wood signifies the human nature. So the acacia wood overlaid with gold signifies to us Christ is both God and man. Amen. Christ has the divine nature. He also has the human nature. Then the ark was built like an open box in order to contain something. The Bible tells us that three things were put into the ark. Okay, let us read Exodus 25:16. Okay. You shall put
into the ark the testimony which I shall give you.
Okay, this Exodus 25:16 tells us, you shall put the ark into the ark, the testimony which I shall give you. This testimony refers to the tables of testimony or the Ten Commandments. Okay, let us go on to read Numbers chapter 17, verse 10. Numbers chapter 17, 10. Okay, for now, it's just pay attention to put back the rod of Aaron before the testimony to be kept as a sign against the rebel. So we can see that this is Aaron's rod that budded was also put into the ark. Then let us go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 33. And Moses said to Aaron,
take the pot and put it over the manna in it, and place it before Jehovah to be kept throughout your generations.
Exodus 16:33 tells us that the Lord Moses commanded Aaron to put an omer of the manna into the golden pot. But Exodus 16 is actually before the tabernacle was built, and before, you know, before Exodus 25, in which the Lord asked Moses to build the ark. So let's read Hebrews 9:4. Hebrews 9:4. Okay. Hebrews 9:4. Okay. It's okay, you got it? No, it's okay. So you see, Hebrews 9:4 confirms to us all three things were put into the ark. The tables of testimony, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot of manna. Okay. I'd like to, next, we need to see why these things were put into the ark. First of all, because the ark is a type of Christ, the things that are put into the ark is also a type of Christ. Okay, I like to go to this. Okay. Okay. What do these three items signify? Let me go through it one by one. Okay, the first item that was put into the ark was the tables of testimony. Okay, and in the tables of testimony, this is the Ten Commandments, and in Philippians, Paul says. In the tables of testimony is actually the foundation of all the laws in the Old Testament. So that the tables of testimony represents the law. Okay? And when the tables of testimony in Philippians chapter 2, when Paul was talking about his own experience, he says, as to righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. So you can see the tables of testimony represents God's righteousness. Then in secondly, in the Aaron's rod that budded in Numbers chapter 17, the background of this was actually when Numbers chapter 16, there was a rebellion against Moses and Aaron, and Korah and a number of those that he had instigated challenged Moses and Aaron as to their authority. And so in number 16 we see that God dealt with Korah, and then in number 17 the Lord told Moses to say that each of the princes of each of the tribes to present a rod. And he will show them who he has given the authority to. And he says, you bring it to the tent of meeting, and in the morning I will show you by whose rod it budded. Then in the morning, they approach the tent of meeting, and Aaron's rod had budded. So you can see that Aaron's rod that budded represents or signifies God's authority. And thirdly, we can see that the golden pot of manna, the manna was given to the children of Israel at the beginning of their journey in the wilderness. When they ran out of bread, the Lord told the, you know, they ran out of bread, they murmured against the Lord, and so Moses pleaded with the Lord, and so the Lord sent down manna every morning to them. And they asked, what is it? And Moses said, this is the bread that the Lord has given to you to eat. So you can see that the pot of manna represents God's grace, because the children of Israel didn't do anything. All they did was they ate of the manna that God had given to them. So the children of Israel, the golden pot of manna represents God's grace. So you can see three things in the ark that was put in as a type of Christ as well. First, Christ is God's righteousness. Second, we can see Christ is God's authority. You know, in Christ as God's authority, we can see not only in John chapter 5, when the Lord Jesus healed the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, the Jews were actually angry and wanted to kill him, because it says it's not lawful for a man to heal on the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered them about telling them about who the Son was. And then the Jews all the more wanted to kill him, because they said he made himself equal with God. The Lord told the Jews in John chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Okay, do we have it? John chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. If not, let me read it. It's okay. Let me read it, okay? For as the Father has life in himself, so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. So you can see the golden rod that budded represents God's authority. And in John, the Lord says, he has the authority. He say, he gave him, that means God gave him the authority. And in Matthew, you can see in Matthew 28, 19, and when the Lord resurrected, before he ascended to the heavens, he said, go therefore and disciple all the nations. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and disciple all the nations. So when he was on the earth, he had God's authority. In resurrection, he also still had God's authority. Amen. And his command to us is go therefore to disciple all the nations. So today, if we preach the gospel, we should not be afraid because we have been given God has given us the authority. The Lord says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and disciple all the nations. So today, when we disciple the nations or we preach the gospel, we have to realize that we do not have to be fearful of anybody, because we have God's authority to preach the gospel to everybody. Amen. So now we have a picture of both the ark and its contents. There's one more item that I need to talk about, is that the ark is not an open box with its content. Okay, the picture is the ark had a cover, and this cover is called the expiation cover when we read, or sometimes we also, for expiation cover is a little bit difficult for me to pronounce, because we are more used to propitiation cover. Expiation or propitiation is actually two sides of the same coin. Expiate means to, something was done in order to get out. Ex means to take out. So expiate means something was done in order to remove the problem. Propitiate, pro means for. Okay, then propitiation means something was done for the removal of the problem. So whether it's expiation or propitiation, just need to remember this is the cover on top of the ark. Okay. Let's read Exodus 25, verse 22. Okay. Because there's something very special regarding this cover of the ark. Okay.
And there I will be with you, and I will speak with you from above the expiation cover, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark of the testimony, of everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel.
Okay. For now, I'd like to bring you just to the attention of what is on the ark, or on the cover, that is the cherubim which are upon the ark. I have only time to cover a brief picture of the cherubim. First of all, what are cherubim? In Ezekiel chapter 10, we see that the vision of the cherubim, they are actually heavenly creatures. Ezekiel chapter 10 describes its features, it has four faces, etc. But for now, just that the two cherubims are facing one another on the cover of the ark. Okay. So what do these two cherubim represent? The first time the cherubim was mentioned was actually in Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. That is when, right after man fell, God sent the cherubim with a flaming sword to guard the tree of life. Okay. Let's read Genesis 3:24. Okay.
So he drove the man out,
In the past, we always pay attention to the flaming sword. But this morning, I want to put your, you know, take your attention, put your attention to the cherubim. You know, when this was after God had driven man out of Adam and Eve out of the garden, and God could have very easily sent the angels with a flaming sword to guard the tree of life, but there the cherubim were there with a flaming sword. But what does the cherubim represent? You know, in Ezekiel, not only the cherubim was the heavenly creatures. You can see that in Ezekiel, wherever God's glory was, there the cherubim went. So wherever God's glory went in Ezekiel, the cherubim went. So the cherubim actually represents God's glory in His presence. So now you can see in the God, the Lord, God sent, placed the cherubim with a flaming sword. Why would, after God has driven Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, why would God's presence still be there? Why would the cherubim still be there? The reason is it must remind us, God, even in spite of the fall of man, God never gave up His desire, or God never gave up His eternal purpose to dwell with man and to be with man. So that is why the cherubim are there, because God's presence was there waiting for a time whereby He can restore man back to Himself. So this is the picture of the cherubim. Now, the cherubim was at the garden guarding the tree of life. The cherubim is now on the ark, on the cover of the ark. This shows that, you see, as I mentioned, the cherubim represents God's glory and God's presence. This shows that in Exodus 25, we can see the cherubim, there between the cherubim, God will speak to us. This means that between the cherubim is an assurance that God does not want to speak to us through His angels. God wants to directly speak to His people. Amen. This is what the cherubim on the ark represents or signify. God wants to speak to His people. God doesn't want to use angels to speak to His people. He wants to directly speak to us. This is a real privilege for us today that we can come to the Lord, we can come to God, and we can hear His speaking. Now we have seen this is the full picture of the ark, the contents of the ark, and its cover. So in Bible typology, okay, the cover also signifies that something has been done, something has been accomplished in order for the requirements, that the right requirements has been met. Okay, so you can see in Luke chapter 15, when the prodigal son came back to the father put on him the best robe. This best robe signifies that Christ is our righteousness. So Christ is our righteousness in order for us to be qualified to meet the Father, to come back to the Father. So you can see that the cover of the ark represents Christ, who has met all of God's requirements and gives us the access to come to Him. We also, this morning, we sang a hymn. Hymn number 295 says, God's Christ, who is our righteousness. This is the picture of the cloak, the best robe that the prodigal son was covered with. But this is a picture of the ark with its cover. Okay. So now we have a complete picture of the ark and its cover. So this is a type of Christ who is, number one, God's righteousness, okay, represented by the law. Then this is also Christ who is God's authority, represented by the Aaron's rod that budded. And third, it also represents Christ is God's grace coming to us. You know, it is in Ephesians says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself, it is the gift of God. So the manner that tells us that God gave us Christ in grace. But what really touched me this week is what I like to share. You know, it has normally been said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. But this morning, I'd like to give it a little difference. A picture is worth 1,000 words, but the picture in the Old Testament, one picture in the Old Testament can never adequately explain the truth in the New Testament. What I'm trying to say is, let's go back, let's read Romans 3, 24 through 26.
Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation placed through faith in His blood for the demonstration of His righteousness, that His forbearance of God passed over sins that had previously occurred, with a view to the demonstrating of His righteousness in the present time.
Now Romans 3:24 tells us, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. You know, redemption means that the Lord went to the cross, He shed His blood for us, He paid the price for our sins. So redemption in Christ Jesus is because the Lord Himself went to the cross and shed His blood for our sins. But if we look at Romans 3:25, okay, the next verse says, whom God set forth as a propitiation place. You know, Christ on the cross shed His blood for us to accomplish our redemption. It's actually, He was the propitiation sacrifice. But here in Romans 3:25, it says, God set forth a propitiation place. This place, this propitiation place, of course, is the Ark of the Testimony with its cover. So here, but it says, God set forth as a propitiation place through faith in His blood for the demonstration of His righteousness. Through faith in His blood. This means that not only the Lord's blood was shed for our redemption on the cross, the propitiation place, the coming forward to us to the propitiation place, that is, to the Holy of Holies where the ark and the propitiation cover was, is also through faith in His blood. So this morning I really appreciate the two-foldedness of the effectiveness of the blood of Christ. Whenever we come to talk about Exodus 25, about the ark and its propitiation cover, we need to realize that both the ark, to both Christ shed His blood for our sins on the cross, and He also gave us the access into the Holy of Holies by His blood. This is a two-foldedness of the effectiveness of the blood of Christ. So whether we to this morning, this only shows that we can only come to God's presence by Christ, in Christ, and through Christ. There is no other way. The Lord says, no one comes to the Father except through me. this. So to us, for us, in order to come to God's presence, we must come by Christ, through Christ, and in Christ. So because his blood was both shed on the cross as a propitiation sacrifice, his blood is also our access into the Holy of Holies, where the propitiation place is. Okay, so this is a two-foldedness. So today, no Old Testament picture can adequately put these two things together, the propitiation place and the propitiation sacrifice together. Both represent Christ, and both is our access. Both, not only that, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, we also have access to God by the blood of Christ. So that's why I say no picture can adequately describe the New Testament truth. Then let's go to Romans 3:26. Okay, it says, with a view to the demonstrating of his righteousness. This his is God's righteousness in the present time, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. Demonstrating the view of demonstrating of his righteousness. This is to demonstrate God's righteousness, so that he might be righteous and the one who justifies him who is of the faith of Jesus. So God is righteous to justify us. Justify us means that we are no longer guilty. Okay. So not only Christ is God's righteousness. Okay. God not only considers us righteous in Christ, God made us righteous in Christ. This is wonderful, because it's not only God looks upon us with pity and considers us righteous in Christ. No, God through Christ made us righteous. This is a wonderful thing, because now we can come boldly. We can come boldly to the Father. We can come boldly to God's presence, because God sees and God considers us and made us righteous in Christ. No other way can we come except through Christ. I'd like to end with two verses, okay, from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus. He initiated for us new. And let's continue with Hebrews 14, 16. So you can see from these two verses, we can come forward with boldness to the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus by a new and living. Therefore, we can come. This is the new and living way he has opened for us. He has initiated for us. The blood is not only for our redemption. The blood is also to open a new and living way for us to come to God. And then he says, let us therefore come forward with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for timely help. Therefore, we can come forward with boldness. But when we come forward with boldness, you know, it doesn't say we come forward to the ark and its propitiation cover, but it says it comes forward to the throne of grace. You know, from God's point of view, from Exodus point of view, it is the propitiation, the ark and the propitiation cover. But in our experience, when we come forward to God, we come forward to the throne of grace. This is a wonderful experience for us. We don't come to the propitiation cover like we come to the throne of judgment, but we come with boldness to the throne of grace. Because Christ has accomplished all this for us. So continue with the book of Exodus, we need to be mindful of this, what Christ has accomplished for us. We can come forward today. The ark and its cover represents or signifies the throne of grace to us, whereby we can receive grace and mercy. I'd like to read to you Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and I'm done, okay? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 6 says, okay, but when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under law,
that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive the sonship. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son
into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see, today, the fullness of the time has come. Christ has already come. So God has sent forth his Son already. Okay. Born of a woman, born under law, that he might redeem those under law, that we might receive the sonship. So today, when we come to the throne of grace, we are not coming as anything but as sons of God. This is wonderful that we might receive the sonship, because we are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So today, when we come to the throne of grace, we are coming as sons of God, as children of God, coming to our Heavenly Father. Amen. What do we receive? We receive words of grace, we receive words of mercy, and we receive words of love. This is the experience of the ark and its cover that we can experience today. This is the reality of the ark and its cover that we today can experience in such a wonderful way to come to our Heavenly Father, so that today the access is all open. We need to come forward with boldness to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy. So because Christ has already accomplished everything for us. The way is open. Now is our turn to come forward. To come forward with boldness to the throne of grace. Don't be afraid to come forward. We are not coming forward to the throne of judgment. We're coming to the throne of grace. We're coming to meet our Heavenly Father. And we are coming to receive words of grace and mercy. And we're coming to receive the love from our Heavenly Father. This is wonderful. So I can say, you can see that Exodus 25 really doesn't cover everything the New Testament truth has, but with this picture, I hope that I've given you some overall picture for us to be able to prepare for our study in Exodus, so that when we study in Exodus, we can appreciate more all the aspects of who Christ is, what he has accomplished, and what he has done, so that we can experience him every day, and also that we can also live in the reality that God can dwell with his people, and he can be our dwelling place, and we can be his dwelling place. Brother Dick will continue.
Okay. Yes. Exodus 25, 8 and 22. Maybe, I don't know, can we get to those? Yeah. Let's just read those two verses again. I know we read them before, but let's read them together, okay? And let them make a sanctuary for me, that I may dwell in their midst. And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the expiation cover, from between the two cherubim, which are upon the ark of the testimony, of everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Amen. So, in the first verse, he says, a sanctuary that I might dwell, right? And then in the second verse, he says, there I will meet with you, there I will speak with you, right?
Amen.
The speaking there is actually the speaking to Moses, right. And the speaking there, I had the benefit in my daily reading, I've read Genesis, Exodus, and I'm up to Leviticus, I'm up to Numbers 4 now, so that gave me a good preparation for coming back to this review of the training on Exodus, one of the things that touched me was was reading the end of Exodus and the beginning of Leviticus. In Exodus 40:17, it mentions that the tabernacle was set up in the first month in the second year on the first day. So, that would be about exactly 1 year, about 1 year after the time of the Passover. So, the book of Exodus, that part of Exodus from chapter 12 to here covers about 1 year. So they spent probably 9 months of that year at Mount Sinai, right? It's interesting. The Lord said, there I will meet with you, and there I will speak with you, right? From above the expiation cover, from between the cherubim, right? But that was not the beginning of his speaking, right? Even in the book of Exodus, the Lord had met, and the Lord had spoken quite a bit up to this point. Very interesting, For instance, he met with Moses in chapter 3, right? And he spoke to Moses in chapter 3, and he called Moses, and he sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel, And actually, there was one verse that touched me there. He said, this is Exodus 3:12. He said, surely I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will serve God upon this mountain. Amen. If not before Exodus 40, at least by Exodus 40, right? If not before, at least by Exodus 40, they serve God on that mountain, So Exodus 40, the first day, second year, the first month, right? And it says he raised up the tabernacle, so Moses finished all the work, Exodus 40:33. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. Amen. Before that, the glory of Jehovah was on the mountain, right? And Moses went up to the mountain, And then, after that, it says, this was kind of like a pre-release of the tabernacle in Exodus 33. It says Moses set up a tent outside the camp. Very, very interesting story, And then Moses would go out, and anyone who sought the Lord would go out, and the cloud would come, And Moses, and the Lord would speak to Moses face to face. That was like the pre-release of the tabernacle. but I'm just saying, this is not, this meeting and the speaking at the expiation cover is not the beginning of the Lord's meeting. It's not the beginning of the Lord speaking. This is just when it becomes in the God's dwelling place. Yeah. So anyways, it says, the cloud covered the tent of meeting. The glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle, Exodus 40, 34. And then it goes on for a couple more verses. And then Leviticus 1, 1. Then Jehovah called to Moses and spoke to him out of the tent of meeting. You know, and then what did he speak? He actually spoke like the book of Leviticus. He spoke the book of Leviticus, right? So, you know, I mean, there was other events that took place, but basically he spoke the book of Leviticus, right? And like, you know, not too long afterward, you know, maybe if it was the first day of the second year, the first month, you know, the time when God spoke the book of Leviticus to Moses wasn't that many days, because they had the Passover. And not too long after that, that was when they left. You know, that's in Numbers. But anyways, O Lord Jesus, there I will meet with you, there I will speak with you of everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I'm going to cut this short. But let me just say, you know, we know the Lord spoke before. You know, the Lord, actually, let me just recount a little bit more. Moses and Aaron went and gathered the elders of Israel. This is Exodus 4, 29 to 31. And Aaron spoke all the words which Jehovah had spoken to Moses, and he performed the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that Jehovah had visited the children of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, they bowed and worshiped. You know, I mean, surely, you know, the Lord met and spoke with even the elders of Israel and the children of Israel at that point, right? Then the Lord brought them in Exodus 19 to Sinai. You know, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be to me a personal treasure among all the peoples, you know? You know, this is a precious meeting and a precious speaking, right?
Amen.
Amen. But there's no more time to cover the material. This is your turn. Praise the Lord. I don't know. What kind of announcements should we make? You? Okay, good. Thank you.
We'd like to give some announcements, and maybe the first announcement is that we will not break up for our language gatherings. We will not break up. We would like to stay together for some fellowship. Okay, but the announcements. Four things we like to let the saints know about. Firstly, on May 6, 7, and 8, the weekend of May 6, 7, and 8, we're going to have a conference over that weekend. This is the burden of this conference is the gospel to all the nations, and with a particular focus on the outreach to the African American community and those of African descent. And so actually we had a conference like this over the Labor Day weekend in Houston, Texas. And a number of saints from all over the country gathered there, and new ones were brought there. And this will be the second such conference. This conference will have a particular schedule. On Friday night and on Saturday, the meetings will be held in Brooklyn at the school that we use for our Lord's Day meetings there, PS 369. So on Friday night at 7:30, on Saturday at 10 a.m., 4 p.m., and 7:30 p.m., all these meetings will be at the school at PS 369 in Brooklyn. And lunch and dinner will also be provided. Then on the Lord's Day, the final conference meeting will be here. That is, the saints from Brooklyn with all those out-of-town saints and new ones will join us here for the final conference meeting. So this will affect all the saints here in these two ways, saints, and this is why we want to make sure you get this announcement. First is hospitality.
Amen.
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 there are saints coming from out of town. Actually, we've already been getting the requests through this week. And so we probably Brother Frank will be contacting a number of you in the coming days concerning hospitality. We hope that you could open your home and grant our brother and the brothers coordinating the hospitality the best cooperation. Now, the number, we're not expecting that many, maybe 50 to 70 from out of town. But we hope that we can accommodate the saints well in either the Brooklyn district or here or in the lower part of Manhattan. So hospitality. The second part is that the meeting, the final conference meeting, will be here on Lord's Day morning. So there will also be some necessary services regarding the lunch and so on. And we can talk about those details as the time gets closer. But we want you to be prepared for this. Secondly, I think many saints already know that there will be a conference in Washington, D.C. over the Memorial Day weekend. A conference in the Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C. All the detailed information is posted in the lobby. You can see there on the bulletin board. And you make your own arrangements with hotel and all that. I think many of the saints are used to this. But we want to let you know that if you're taking children, elementary school age children, they all must be registered. They all must be pre-registered so that we can coordinate properly the children's meetings. Children's meeting is provided for all the conference meetings for elementary school age children, grades kindergarten through 6. Younger than kindergarten, they have to be cared for by the parents. You coordinate yourselves. And then the teenagers all join the conference meetings. So if you have planned to go, and you have children grades kindergarten through 6, we ask that you would register them. The children's meeting teachers have a sign-up list that you can sign that. So you can go there to the children's area, or you can see Sister Kathy Cooley concerning this matter. The third thing is that I think we have heard already the summer training, which our brothers mentioned, will be the final portion in Exodus, in the life study, in the crystallization study of Exodus. The deadline for that is May 1st, and that is for both the video and the Anaheim live training. The forms are available near the service office. The final thing is that in helping our study in these next 5 weeks concerning Exodus, I believe many saints ordered the Holy Word for Morning Revival to go along with their study, and those books are available in the book room for after this meeting. Amen. Our brother will fellowship something with us.
Actually, I was inspired by the two brothers sharing, and I feel I wasn't planning to speak, but I feel it was very important for me to not only share with what touched me, but also I would like all the saints to stay because this is the first of 6 meetings. This is the first meeting. Right. First among 6, speaking on the furniture in the tabernacle. Right. Okay, and so therefore, what is mentioned here in this first message is not only on the first item, but it is for the next 6, okay, next 5, and not only that, as it was mentioned by all brothers that. This summer training is going to be, this is in preparation for the summer training, and this right. summer training is the third continuation of the study of Exodus, and so therefore it is starting from chapter 25. And particularly, I was touched by 2 things, okay? Steve mentioned that the Old Testament is a picture for the fulfillment of the New, but there's more something he said. He said this picture in the Old Testament was not a complete picture because no picture in the Old Testament is so comprehensive and complete to represent Christ So therefore, it only touches on one aspect. No matter how detailed they have to go through, that only touches one aspect. Therefore, in order to get the whole picture concerning the type represented in the Old Testament, you have to come to the New Testament to see it. Okay, and I'm going to use a couple words to summarize that. And not only that, the speaking in the Old Testament, seemingly, you see the word, say for example, 25, verse 22, and there I will meet with you, and then I will speak with you. And what Dick mentioned is that speaking didn't stop here. This speaking is just the beginning, talking about the furniture. And he said it went on to come to the whole book of Exodus, even into the book of Leviticus, right? And it's very good that he read about that, how we need to continue. So in other words, what does it mean? It means whenever we come to the Old Testament, particularly in the portions that represent typifying certain aspects of the significance of the New Testament, which is Christ, it is really not complete in itself. So don't think by reading one chapter, one message, even six messages, or even if you finish the book of Exodus, still God is still continuing speaking.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So therefore, it is very important, dear brothers and sisters. Right. That's why I want you to be here, not only to remain, not only to hear in this meeting, but we hope that you will continue to have fellowship or enjoying the verses during the week and continuing into these next 5 weeks. And even prepare yourself for the summer training, okay?
Amen.
Whatever,
Amen.
You will be able to go to the live training, or you can join in the video, or even if you are not able to do either, you can still enjoy the word, okay? So I hope this burden there will continue. Okay, now, let me summarize with two words. When I listened to the brothers, of course, they spoke a lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And they spoke a lot. So I thought to myself, how do I summarize it?
Good.
Okay,
good.
I summarized it with one word, the second word in Exodus 25, verse 22. There.
Right, there.
There, okay. Yeah. Now, what does there mean? There, it means, of course, it talks about the Ark of the Testimony, talks about the expiation or this cover, and then, but this cover is not complete in itself, because the cover has this two cherubim on the side, on top of it. And God said, I will be there. Now, this is so full of meaning. Our brothers tried to say some more about it, but we need to appreciate that more. But the point is that it is not just to see this wonderful picture and, you know, compare this to Genesis chapter 3, verse 24. Oh, it's so wonderful that in the, you know, after the fall of man, not only there was a flaming sword, but also there is the cherubim. But the point is that this is all part of this there. But this there, no passage in the Old Testament can fully express, can be comprehensive about what this picture is about. So therefore, I want to use a second word, okay? Today in the New Testament, we are no longer there. So if you can't take the T out, I guess it's very difficult. So when you take the T out, what is that?
Here.
That is the difference.
Right.
That is the difference. The Old Testament, no matter which portion you go to, no matter how much you explain, you analyze, I mean, you explain every item and everything, it's still there.
Yeah.
But today, all these wonderful items, they typify one person.
Amen.
That is Christ.
Amen.
And no longer there.
Amen.
It is now.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
I mean, even what Dick said, you know, Dick only said very, very briefly, but what he said really touched me and inspired me some. He mentioned that God's glory was on the mountain, right? You heard that.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? By the end of the book of Exodus, the glory of God filled the tabernacle.
Amen.
You see that? even that there, I mean, what is there? There really is God's presence. There really is God's presence. All the other items is because God is satisfied with Christ. Right? There, you talk about the Ark of the Covenant, the three items, and then the cover and the cherubim. What does it mean? Says God says, there I will meet with you. Means God said, I'm happy. I'm happy. And how does God express his happiness? Or, you know, we always talk about his eternal purpose. How do you express God as happy? God is happy when he gives his presence.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
When his glory is there, shows, why, of course it's God's glory. That means he's happy. Otherwise he won't be. He won't condescend himself. God comes here, shows, I'm happy. I'm happy with Christ. I'm happy with every item that represents or typifies who Christ is.
Amen.
But in the Old Testament, it's only there. There, you know, when God is in the mountain, the glory was there. And when this furniture is finished, God came in, and there, the cherubim, right? And by the end of the book of Exodus, it's because of all the furniture, more items concerning Christ has been represented there. And God filled his glory there, right?
Amen.
But today, it's here.
Amen.
You see what I mean? And I hope you see what I mean. There is the Old Testament picture. No Old Testament picture can fully represent 1,000 words, 10,000 words, cannot. But here in the New Testament, it is here. But not only that, if I borrow this verse, and here I will meet with you. This you, well, of course, I is God, right? And this you is no longer Moses. Please notice this, okay?
Right.
Who is this you? Us, right? Here I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the place I'm happy. Expiation cover from between the two cherubim, which were upon the ark of the testimony of everything which I will give you in commandment to you, no longer to the children of Israel. Is that wonderful, dear brothers and sisters? I hope you see a little bit of what I saw this morning, and which is the little I saw this morning, I should say. So I'm looking forward to the time for the next 5 weeks. We're not filling the gap. Now, please notice that we're not just filling the gaps before the summer training, so we can fill these portions. I hope every item we read there, we see a little bit there. And let me put it in this way, that actually in the next 5 weeks, as we go through all these different items, we are getting closer. We're getting closer to the chapter 40 of Exodus, because in chapter 40, God's glory fill the tabernacle. In other words, every week, when we see a little bit more of the furniture, which is how should I describe? And what is the furniture? Because God wants to be with us. God doesn't want to be with us in an empty room. The furniture in the room is the setting, is the atmosphere, is the environment. Amen. God wants to dwell with us. God wants to speak with us. God doesn't want to speak us in an empty room, just two chairs. God wants to speak to us, firstly, this wonderful item. So rich, those three items about Christ is God's righteousness, Christ is God's authority, and Christ is God's grace. And with this propitiation place, and this place that where God's presence is there.
Amen.
And that was there, but today is here, right?
Amen.
And that is what we mean to say that the vision we talk about, actually Genesis 1:26. If you read this in this light, you will read every time you read Genesis 1:26. You know, it is in this kind of a vision that we have lived on, we've given ourselves on, which is practicable. Now, what do I mean by the vision we have given ourselves through is practicable? That means what all we talked about, including what we're going through about the book of Exodus, there becomes here every time we read it.
Amen.
Okay? So I hope, dear brothers and sisters, you understand my feeling that we all look forward to the next 5 weeks. Okay, not only you come, you get your morning watch sheets, you're getting to the verses and appreciating what the Lord has done, what he has prepared for us, and continuing for the next 5 weeks, and then the term summer training, and we'll continue while we're still in the book of Exodus. But even now, we can go from there to here. Okay. So I'm really looking forward to the next 5 weeks.
Amen.
Amen. You want to say something about it?
No.
You want to say something.
Yeah, maybe I'll also say something. I also enjoyed two words this week. Actually, also this word, there. Because I appreciated, just as our brother mentioned, that today we all can come forward there.
Amen.
The way to there is open to us. We had some fellowship during the week, and I so much appreciated, you know, there, so much goes on there. Even we don't realize so much. All we have to do is get there. And when we're there, a lot of things. Actually, God accomplishes his eternal purpose. Because there, you know what's there? Related there, inside the ark is the two tablets, which are an expression of God. And that brings us, you know, whenever you talk about expression, it brings us to Genesis 1:26. And then the rod is there. The rod is there, which means the authority. Well, whenever you hear the word authority, it brings you back to Genesis 1:26. Actually, you know, in Genesis 3, the way to there was blocked. But because of what Christ did as the propitiatory sacrifice, he then became the propitiation place so that we can all be there in him, so that God's eternal purpose can be accomplished.
Amen.
But you know, that's Genesis 1. What's in Genesis 2 is the tree of life. You know, we eat our way there.
Amen.
So you know, in the pot, in the ark, is also the manna. Amen. So actually, the way I saw, there is Genesis 1 and 2. It's like the Lord, through his propitiatory sacrifice, has brought us back to the beginning so that he could accomplish his purpose in us. But the other word is actually from Romans chapter 3, and that is the word whom. Whom God set forth as a propitiation place. And saints, it's so... it's just so wonderful. You know, when I remember reading, even in my early Christian life, when I would read Romans 3, and I saw that about Christ is the propitiation place, I didn't have this picture that we have this morning, that this is talking first about the Holy of Holies. This brings us to the Holy of Holies. And where is the Holy of Holies? In God's house. Actually, the Romans 3:24, Christ being set forth as our propitiation place, is so all-inclusive because it brings us back to the place where God can accomplish his purpose in us. But this is not a place, it's a person. It's a person. So what I enjoyed is that now this place there, which is now here, is both personal and portable. Is personal because it's Christ now in our spirit.
Amen.
And it's portable. You know, I enjoyed this from the when it was brought out in the training and again this week. You know, the ark has these rings.
Yes.
And there are poles and they're never taken out. It's always ready to move. And on one hand, that shows us that we should always be ready to move to spread the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
On the other hand, it also shows everywhere can be here. Everywhere that there can be converted to here because the ark is portable. Wherever we are, Christ goes with us as the propitiation place. so we can contact him, touch him, we can behold his glory, and he can accomplish his purpose in us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please share. Feel free. Oh, Timothy's going to share. Sorry. A lot of inspiration going on.
Praise the Lord. It's really a wonderful picture that we see the ark, which typifies Christ, and also the cover of the ark, the propitiation cover or expiation cover, also typify Christ. And on this cover, there were two cherubims, signify God's glory. And the whole thing just shows us that God's desire to speak to us.
Amen.
And to meet us.
Amen.
The word there today is here.
Amen.
Where is here? Here is the church.
Amen.
Today, this morning, we are meeting in the church. Amen. Here, we have God's glory.
Amen.
I was reminded in Ephesians chapter, 3, the last verse. To him be the glory in the church.
Amen.
And in Christ Jesus forever and ever.
Amen.
So this morning, we are enjoying God's glory.
Amen.
We are meeting with God. We are also enjoying his speaking. Here also, as God's dwelling place, is also our spirit. Our Christian life is a life reading the word, praying to the Lord. In fact, for the purpose that Christ may make his home in our heart. So today, here is also daily, we can just come to the Lord, come to our spirit, and enjoy the word, and pray to him, and letting Christ, little by little, making his home in us.
Amen.
Our heart, making his home in us, in our heart. Our heart is God's dwelling place also. So I just am so thankful that this morning we're covering this portion, and this opens the way for us to continue to enjoy the book of Exodus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for such a way. Open to us by his blood.
Amen.
And God so desire to speak to us in his glory.
Amen.
So anything you want to share, just you can pass on this mic.
I just appreciate how much speaking just came out of this portion. We can go on, and there's five more weeks to go. Praise the Lord. I appreciate this matter of the ark. You know, when the Lord revealed the building of the tabernacle to Moses, the first revelation was concerning the ark. Of course, if you look at the picture of the ark, concerning our experience, the first item of furniture that we encounter is the laver, right? And then, the altar, and then the laver, and then there's a showbread table, and the lampstand, and all these are for our experience. And then we come to the incense altar, and then the last piece of furniture is the ark. But in the Revelation, the first piece of furniture is the ark. And the ark, to sum it all up, is just a picture or a type of Christ in all his inclusiveness. Of all the pieces of furniture, to me, I realized that the ark is the most richest in meaning and expression. It also indicates that God, Christ, is preeminent in God's economy, in his purpose to fulfill his desire, right? God wants to reveal Christ to us, because when Christ is revealed to us, he's the way for us to come to God.
Amen.
Actually, ark there, we meet God, but it's through Christ. So the way to get to God today is through Christ.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for Christ. He brings us to God, and he is God, because the ark is acacia wood overlaid with gold, signifying humanity and divinity are mingled together. There is a full expression of God there. So praise the Lord. I just enjoy this, and I can't wait to get into the other five messages in the next 5 weeks. May there be such a rich expression through all the saints, not just these brothers, but from all the saints. Bring out your enjoyment and the riches of the Christ you see and enjoy in Exodus chapter 25.
Amen.
Hallelujah for Christ. Oh, Christ is a portion given to us. I also was very helped by the brother sharing, and also the Lord's speaking to me this week that as we're coming to these messages, we have to center on Christ. Amen. If we're just paying attention to the our histories or things, of course, the New Testament and Old Testament are very different, and 1 Corinthians and Exodus are very different. But if we center on Christ, and I enjoy one brother sharing that the theme of the Bible is the same throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that is God wants to be one with his people, and God wants to have a dwelling place among his people. And so we have to pay attention to this. If we pay attention to Christ, then we will realize that in 1 Corinthians, the burden is the same, right? Even among all the problems, the Lord wants to gain the church for his expression. And as we come to Exodus to study all these furnitures in the tabernacle, we have to see Christ. Amen. And that Christ is Christ needs to be one with us, to work into us so that we can become this dwelling place of God in spirit. So praise the Lord for the word of God. And this week I really enjoy also the rings by the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony is not something static or just a remain in a place, but it has the golden ring on both sides, and you need the pole. You have the pole going through the rings in order for it to move. Right. And the Ark here represents or signifies Christ as the testimony of God. Therefore, the testimony of God needs to move. Amen. Not only by Christ, but also by the church, by all of us, each one of us as the member of the body of Christ. We are responsible for the spreading of God's testimony. And the ark is moved by the priest carrying the poles by the side of the Ark of the Testimony. It's not by, it doesn't move by any other way. Right. It has to be carried on the shoulder of the priest. Amen. And I enjoy that we need to spend time with the Lord to be one with the Lord. Amen. That we would have a direct connection with the Lord. And once we enjoy the Lord will burden us to move. Amen. For his testimony, for the spreading of his testimony in this city. Amen.
I appreciated this matter that, you know, Christ is a person. This propitiation place is a person. In fact, the entire tabernacle is a person. Why can we say this? Well, in John 1:14, it says, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. God's goal in becoming man was to tabernacle among man. And he went through a process in order to meet man's need so that he could cause man to be one with him and bring man into God. And I enjoyed a little bit about this process through the verses in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in leading many sons into glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. In this process in which God was able to accomplish salvation, he had to pass through a human living. And last night with the young people, we covered this in the economy of God, these elements of the triune God. And I appreciated that it was human living with sufferings, not just human living by itself. I began to appreciate that the human life is something that is with sufferings. That was something that the Lord had to pass through. And that's to make the author of our salvation perfect through sufferings. But in the same way, he is the pioneer. He's the first trailblazer. And we too also have to pass through these sufferings. But I appreciate that there is a goal. The goal is for there to be the many sons to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. So as the Lord did not withhold these sufferings from his son, neither does he withhold these sufferings from us. So I just appreciated that this is the process that we're going through. We see the goal in Exodus 40, where we're with God, we're with God's glory, but praise the Lord for the human living that we have to go through. I just appreciated that with this view, this really uplifts what our day-to-day living is. Amen. The process that we go through. We're just open to the Lord, and he's able to work himself into us and to conform us more to his image. Amen.
Christ has a divine nature and human nature. The cherubim represent the glory of God, also involve the presence of the Lord. In order to come to Christ, in order to come to the presence of the Lord, we must have to come to Jesus. Here he's portable. You know, we talk about the cherubim and the flaming sword. But what really touched me is when the brother adds some flavor to it. He says, I'm here, you know, we have him here with us, you know, and I'll just say that, I'm portable, you know, praise the Lord that, you know, we don't have to be enclosed by ourselves, but praise the Lord, you know, that wherever we are, you know, he's there with us. His presence is always there with us. Amen. Amen.
In such a principle of body to speak to each one of us, which is beautiful and awesome. And I really appreciate that we are not saying something from there to here, even from here to a person, but because this is
this morning, but I enjoyed the words of what Brother James said about there and here. So that means that we can enjoy the Lord and all the things pictured, spoken of in the Old Testament in the Ark. We can enjoy it. I enjoyed the words there and here. And here means wherever you are. And so that means tomorrow, Monday, when your boss is giving you the business, you can be in your spirit. And you can be enjoying all the things that we enjoyed this morning. So it's not just for Monday. I mean, we're not part-time Christians. We're full-time Christians, right? And we have the Lord's life, and we can be connected to the Lord. We can receive his speaking and his supply and have his authority when we speak the gospel everywhere that we go, every day of the week. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
the meeting.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Lord, thank you for all the sharings.
Amen.
Thank you, you are here.
Amen.
We are your dwelling place.
Amen.
The church is your house.
Amen.
Thank you, we can enjoy you all the time.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
And we thank you for all the church meetings.
Amen.
To you be the glory in the church.
Amen.
We also pray that daily we'll enjoy you.
Amen.
We'll exercise to contact you.
Amen.
To remain with you.
Amen.
Lord, to bless your church.
Amen.
To bless every saint.
Amen.
In your precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for this meeting.
Amen.
We are here.
Amen.
To receive your speaking.
Amen.
To speak to the church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This fellowship in your word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling us.
Amen. Amen.
Eternal economy.
Amen.
We give ourselves again to you.